Thank you, Lord. Well, let's look on your sheet there just to begin. 2 Corinthians, we talked about, and we're in a series on love and right before Christmas, and I believe we'll get back there. But last week, just for the new year, we went a bit different direction, and we're going to continue there. I didn't feel like we should just go back to the other thing. I thought we should stay here at least one more week. And we talked about, we called it Beyond the Natural. And we talked about how specifically, last Sunday was the first Sunday of the new year. Specifically, as we're going into this new year, I thank God that He made years. I read that. So one of our regional director sent out an email to us at Christmas. Not to me, but generally speaking, just talking about Christmas. And he was saying, I thank God that God made years. You have this time where you get to come back and it's another cycle and you get to kind of reboot. Get ready. And we're at the beginning of a year. And we just talked about how this year, and my emphasis last week was that as we're walking through this life, don't look for this year, don't look at it purely naturally. Don't look at just the natural. Realize that there is a spiritual component to this realm that's much more real than what you can see and feel. This is real. Don't get me wrong. This is real. This is a real chair. It's material, but there's something that existed before any of this existed. And it is more real, more solid than what you can see and feel. And the world does not accept that. So we got to be careful. I'm just reviewing a little bit so we can go forward. We got to be careful that we don't take the attitude of the world and approach things the way the world does, purely natural. In other words, we're going to set goals based on our inventory and based on our resources, based on where we want to be, naturally speaking, not taking any spiritual component into it. That's a mistake for the Christian. Because it is supernatural. And what you are going to do ought to be based on what you believe God wants you to do and what He has called you to do. He has already given you the ability to do and already lined up resources to help you do it. Supernatural resources. In other words, if God says go there, make no mistake, He's already provided everything that it takes to make that happen. See, that's totally different than some man in the natural saying, I am going to do this. I don't care how smart the guy is or the lady is. I don't care how much brain power he has. I don't care how many connections he has. He says, I'm going to do this. This is my New Year's resolution or one of my top five goals. See, he's thinking, I am going to do this. That's completely different than somebody going, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm at your service. Show me. And you saying, okay, this is what I believe our goals are, you and your spouse or your family saying, this is what I believe we're supposed to do this year as the Lord would have us do. Now you're not talking about you. You're saying, the Lord has asked me to do this. This is my assignment. And now when you're going to do that, you look at what you have. You can look at your resources, but you're not just stopping there. You're looking at what God has told you to do, and if He told you to do it, He's already provided everything that you need to accomplish that, period. Behind the scenes, you may not see anything, but angels, provision has already been set up. Now, you're going to have to walk in faith. You're going to have to walk it out and believe Him that, because it might, as you walk through it, it may not look like that stuff is there. But if you'll just walk and believe, say, God, you told me to do this, so we're doing it, you will see things come to pass, see things be there, because it has to be that way. The Lord didn't tell you to do something and then just back off and say, well, I hope you can get it done. He told you to do something, and like we said last week, as you walk out, you're on a collision course with what it takes to get it done. In other words, He's already sent what needs to be needs to be there for you to get it done. Let's read this scripture and let's get into this thing. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, for though we walk, what? In the flesh. So we're in the flesh. That just means your natural body. Yeah, I'm in the flesh. You're in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down, strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means natural. They're not natural. So we're in the flesh, we're in the natural. So don't, like some Christians, they get so, what they would call spiritually, like you've heard the phrase, people get so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. That's, okay, I know what that means, but if you're really spiritual minded, you're going to be earthly good. What that means is that those people are getting just flaky off. It's not real spiritual, because if you're spiritual, you're going to be solid in God. No, it's kind of just woo-woo, out there, you know, not grounded in anything, God or natural, and you're no good to anybody that way. You don't want to just purely be out there thinking it's just all God and nothing and ignore this spirit, this natural realm. On the other hand, you don't want to get so carnal that you think it's just me and what I do, and you ignore the spiritual. Like I said last week, and Pastor Hagin always used to say this. He says, when you combine the natural with the supernatural, you get an explosive force for God. When you combine the natural and the supernatural, you get an explosive force for God. It's not all natural. It's not all supernatural. But there is a supernatural component. There is a spiritual component. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not natural. They are spiritual. We want to keep that in mind as we go forward. Let's look there again at Romans 12. We read this last week as well. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I don't know where that is on your sheet. I should have one of your sheets too. What's that? Everett, would you mind getting me one of these? Or can you guys share? Yeah, thank you. So it's about bottom half. You guys find that? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, we've heard that scripture a lot. But what I want to focus on this morning, I mean, in going somewhere else, but as far as it concerns this verse, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to know that as you go into this life, into this year, as you're doing things, you have to know that you can't just think like the world thinks, that there's just natural, like what we were saying earlier. Don't make that mistake of just thinking it's just natural, that you're just going through the motions, just doing natural things. It's so much more than that. You have to keep in mind that there is a help, that God is your help. Yeah. Yeah. That may seem really simple, but it's easy to lose sight of that if you're not careful, because this world will chew you up and spit you out. Yeah. If you're not careful, even as a Christian, if you don't know who you are, if you don't act. You may have heard some things, but in the midst of pressure and trial, when it doesn't look like anything's happening, if you start siding in with that and start saying, there's nothing going on, it is just me, where is God? You're acting just like the world, just like you don't have God, and you're ignoring what we're saying right now. You're ignoring that there is a God that is there to help you, and you might, 6 months from now, the things that maybe are clear to you now, and that you know that God has told me to do this and you're going in, don't get sidetracked when it doesn't happen right away. You keep your eyes focused on what the Lord told you to do, and you keep going and believe Him and believe there is a supernatural, and God has not failed anyone yet. His word is true. His word to you is true, and He will do just what He told you He would do. If He told you something in His Word, He will do it. If He told you something by His Spirit in your heart, and you know it's Him, He will do it. Right. Right. So don't get in this trap like we're talking about here. Don't be conformed to this world. This world is trying to get you to conform all the time. You flip on the TV, you go onto any website, there's stuff that is trying to conform you. Most websites, most TV shows are trying to get you to conform. The commercials are trying to get you to conform, try to get you to accept a certain way of looking, to a certain way of talking, a certain way of behaving, and most of it's not based on the Word of God. So if you start talking and behaving just like the world, then you're not going to be focused on the fact that you have help in the Lord. And the world starts talking like, what is this going to happen with this disease or this financial thing? Or what about these terrorists? If you're not careful, you'll start fearing just like the world fears. You'll start thinking you're susceptible to everything the world is susceptible to. And if you act like them and you think like them, there's no difference. We got to just, it's nothing that we're working up. It's just pulling out and saying, it's just holding out and saying, God, you said this, and this is the way I'm going to think. This is where the renewing of the mind comes in. You have to act on what He said and think differently. When you look at a situation, don't just think, well, goodness, it has to be that way. I mean, look at all the circumstances. No, there's a whole layer behind that you can't see that is in operation.
That's right.
Don't just say, well, yeah, they're right. It's going to look, there's no hope. No hope in the natural. But don't get duped into thinking just like everybody else. If they say there's no God and then there's nothing else behind it, and there is no supernatural, then yes, by that logic, there is no hope. There is nothing. They're right. But that's not true. Don't act like we don't have a God. Don't act like there isn't a supernatural realm. And if He told you to do something, it's going to get done. If you do what He told you to do, then there already is authority and power in the words that He told you. He's already commanded what needs to happen to be there. So what you have to do, you just walk in it. Just don't be duped out of it. It is that simple. It is that simple. It's kind of like this. Now I'm not even going to say that gives the wrong impression. What you need to know is the devil is trying to deceive you and dupe you out of what is rightfully yours. And so if you just start looking at the natural, you can be deceived. But the fact is, you don't have to be deceived if you'll just keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on what God told you to do. Don't just take into consideration just the natural. There is supernatural help. Supernatural help. Really quick. Okay, we already went through this, and you can look at it a little bit more. But we went through this story last week. It's the second scripture there on your sheet. But let's just look at this, because this just gives us a little bit of vivid picture of what we're talking about. And then we'll move in, I believe, into some more of what we want to talk about this morning. Or focus on. But 2 Kings 6, 8. Let's just look on your sheet again. 2 Kings 6 through 8 says, now, it gives us a visual of what we're talking about, that there is the supernatural realm behind the natural. It says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. So the king of Syria is in war with Israel, and he's talking to his confidants, and he says, I'm going to put my camp here. And so then the man of God, Elisha, goes, and he hears from God, and he goes to the king of Israel. So these two are at war. So the king of Syria is going and says, we're going to do this. And over here, Elisha's telling the king of Israel, they're going to do this. And so he's reading this other guy's mail. Not really, God is telling him. He says, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God told him, and thus he warned him and was watchful, not just once or twice. So this happened over and over. So the king of Israel is constantly knowing the next move of the king of Syria, and that's making the king of Syria irritated. Verse 11, he says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants, and he said to them, will you not show me which of one of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, which one of you is a traitor? Or where is the traitor? Because everything we do, he's finding out about it. So somebody's telling something. And that's naturally speaking, right? You're thinking there's no way they know unless somebody's telling them. Verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. In other words, the things that he's telling, the things you think are secret, the king of Israel knows because Elisha picks up on it through the Lord. Verse 13, so he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. So they said, well, where is this guy now? The king of Syria says, where's Elisha now? I want to get him. And he says, in Dothan. Verse 14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So Elisha's there. His servant goes out in the morning. They're staying in this place. Goes out in the morning and he looks up and there's an army surrounding him. A natural army is surrounding him. And so he goes, well, what are we going to do about this? In verse 16, so he answered, Elisha answered, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. See, there was something there that this guy didn't see. But Elisha knew they were there. Why? Because he was doing what God told him to do. He knows there's angels there. He knows there's a whole host that this kid can't see him. But he just says, open his eyes, Lord. Show him. This is exactly the way it is with us. The other people around you may say, What are you going to do? How are you going to do that? Don't you see? You're surrounded. You're trapped. You need to know that if God told you to be there, if God told you to do it, it's not just you. And it's not just them. God is at work. He is helping. And then he goes on verse 18, so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with the blindness according to the word of Elisha. Let them out. And basically took him to another place. But I wanted to recap that real quickly. We need to know there's this whole other realm behind what we see. And the Lord will help us to get done whatever He has told us to do. He is going to help you get to where you need to get. He's going to help you increase where you need to increase. He is going to help you get your mindset to where it needs to get. If He's told you to do something and you look and say, there's no way I can do that, you need to know, and this is what I want to get over to you this morning, that God is there to help you do it. Now that may seem, don't let that be too simple. Because anything you take out, you're starting to do this year or in general, if you say, I can't do that, I don't know how I would do that. You look at it financially and say, now I'm talking about things that the Lord is dealing with you to do. Okay, if you just get an idea, well, I want to go, you know, buy 100, I want to buy every NFL team by the time I'm 50. Okay, well, good luck with that. If the God's telling you, that's one thing. But if you're making something up, I want to own 10,000 oil wells. Well, okay, if God's not telling you to do that, we're not talking about that. But if we're talking, if God is dealing with you to do something, and you say, I can't do that, I'm not equipped to do that. Well, now you have a question to ask yourself. Did God tell you to do it or not? Number two, if the answer is yes, Does he know what he's talking about or not? Because you have a problem if the Lord told you to do it, and you're saying, I can't do it, somebody is wrong. I give you three chances to figure out who it probably is. And so this is where, this may seem really simple, but I'm telling you, a lot of Christians fall down right here. And they will stay here forever. They'll go around the mountain because they'll say, I know what I would do if I could. Or, and they're waiting. They think they're waiting for the, we went over this a little bit last week, but we're going to focus on a little bit different direction. They think they're waiting for the Lord. It's not true. And our, what we need to know is that whatever God told you to do, he did not expect you to already have everything you need to do it, or else you wouldn't need him to do it, and that's just part of the deal. Look at, go look, don't take my word for it. I mean, we don't have time this morning, but go look and look back at every person that God dealt with in the Old Testament, the New Testament. He told them to do something. It wasn't just dazzlingly obvious how they were going to do it. Abram, you're going to have a child. Looks over at Sarah. Or Sarah, what, you know, she's 90 years old or whatever, and he's 100. And they never had children anyway, but you're going to be the father of nations. That was not obvious that what the end was, right? Children of Israel, then you're going to be delivered from the hand of Pharaoh. How's that going to happen? Then you get delivered and you bounce up against the Red Sea. How's this going to happen? You know, David, wasn't blazing obvious that David was going to beat Goliath. I think if there was betting around there, the odds were not in David's favor. I don't think people were saying David's got this in the bag. Look at David and you look at Goliath and he's like, you know, however many times. You just look at it over and over. God deals with people and he, what does it say in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. This is just part of the deal. God delights in giving his children something that they have to rely on him to do, and he will do great things through you if you'll let him. What you have to know is that when he tells you to do something, you can't throw, and I'm saying what he tells you to do in your heart or what he tells you to do in the word. Because some people are saying, I know what it says in the word, I can't do it. That's just too much for me. I can't do it. I'm just not a good Christian. You know, it's the same thing. Okay, but if God told you to do it, and you say you can't do it, again, somebody's wrong. And it's not God. And this is where a lot of Christians fall down, because they say, I can't do it. Okay, even the world recognizes if you say you can't do something, you can't do it. Doesn't matter if you have the ability. If you think you can't, you can't. And if God told us to do something, we need, and it comes down to simple trust. Lord, you said that. All right. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to get there. But you said it. You must know. I don't see anything. But what I see isn't all there is. And if you told me to do something, there is more. There is more. Mentally. You think I've reached my capacity to handle things. There's more. Yeah, I've reached my, I don't see how the finances would come. There's more. God has people. You just don't know them yet.
That's right.
You just don't see them. Does that mean they're not there? No. No. Well, I just don't know how to break through this relationship. God does. Well, you know, I just emotionally can't handle this. You can go higher. You can get higher. A year from now, you could look at it and say, how did I ever think that way? Because what? God will increase you. So what he's asking you to do here, you may be here and going, I don't see how I'm going to do that. But what you have to know is that when you get here to do this, you're not going to be the same person as where you are. So if God says you can do this, and you say you can't, now you have to say, Lord, in my limited understanding and limited knowledge, I don't see how, but you're smarter than me. You know more than me. You must know how. Lord, whatever you do, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to do it. And you watch him change you. You watch him bring resources. Because he already knows how to do it. He already knows. Let's turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 41. Oh, I'm telling you. It's the easy things. It's the simple things where we miss it. This is fundamental. Some Christians are saying, oh, we're getting into the deep things of God, and they won't do this. They don't really believe that God will help them in everyday life, in normal stuff. And if you can't trust him, but I know all these deep spiritual truths, and I could go, but I can't trust him just to do what he told me to do. I'm telling you, that's where it's at. Just walking day to day with the Lord and him helping you. Isaiah 41:10, this isn't on your sheet. Let's turn over there. I left it on there. That's right. It was on there. Isaiah, the different translation isn't there, though. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. Everybody there? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Look at what it says, verse 10 at the beginning. Fear not, for I am with you. Who's with you? He said, I am with you. He didn't say, fear not, because you're so smart. Fear not, man, you have plenty of money. Fear not, you have all the people you know to get this done. He said, fear not, for I'm with you. He said, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'm your God. I am your God. So you can't just gloss over this and read it. Yeah, yeah, he's God. What he's saying, he is your God. If you know him as your God, that means he has your back. That means if he's truly your God, he told you to do something, you have nothing to fear. Didn't he just say that? We're going to go through this slow. Fear not. Why? Because I'm with you. We could stop right there. Don't fear. Why? Because the Almighty is with you. Just take a deep breath in and think about that for a moment. He said, fear not, for I'm with you. He's with us. He said, be not dismayed, for I am your God. Now look at this. He said, I will strengthen you. See, I'll strengthen you. In other words, you're not as strong as you're going to be. You don't have everything that you need to accomplish what he's told you to do. But good news, it's coming. You're going to be stronger in the future than you are right now. A year from now, you're going to be stronger than sitting there right now. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. He said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. He goes, I'll strengthen you. I'll get you where you need to be. No, you're not there. That's all right. That's part of the deal. That's part of it. I tell you something, you look at me and say, I don't know how we're going to do that. And I say, good. Let's get going on that. Let's help you get there. He said, yes, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Talk about an improvement program. This is not self-help. This is God help. You don't need to change you. You need to look to Him to change you. Because He knows how to change you. You don't. Has anybody figured that out yet? And you don't know how to change your spouse or your kids either, but that's another subject. Let's just focus on us. We got enough problems with us sometimes, right? No, you don't? Okay. I'm not, this section over here, you got enough? You just focus on you? No, we need Him. And the thing is, He knows we need Him. And He knows exactly what we need. So looking up at Him going, I just can't do this. Well, okay. You can't do it. So let Him help you. He can do it. And He can get you in a position where you can do what He told you to do. Not off by yourself, but with His help, yes, you can. And you may think, well, I'm already doing pretty well. You know what? If you're always saying, I'm just doing pretty well, you're not looking to God and getting stretched, because you're always going. He's always going to bring you up to somewhere you haven't been. And it's going to take faith to walk with Him. You're not going to get to the point where you're like, I got this. Man, smooth sailing from here until I check out of the world. I got this. No, then what you've done is checked out of following Him closely. You've said basically, this is good enough for me. I'm staying here, because He'll always push you up. He's always got something bigger and better, and it's going to take faith, but we can learn to walk with Him, and we can enjoy the journey and just enjoy everything about walking with the Lord. I'm not saying it's always comfortable. It's not. It's not. It's not comfortable to change. Anybody find that out yet? You bump flat up against your limitations, and you're going along, this is great, and then God's asking me to do this, and boom, you knock into something, and you're like, God, I can't do this with where I am now. You want me to go up there? I don't want to go up there. This hurts. I like it here, but you want to go up there. I only have this ability, but it's going to take this ability to do what you told me to do. I don't want that ability. Well, do you want to do what I told you to do? Yes. I want to do what you told me to do, but I like being me. I like just where I am. Okay? But I can't do what you told me to do with where I am. Okay, then you have to come up. I don't want to come up. I like it here. So you're going to have to come up. And He's going to bring you up. He will bring you up. You have to put your flesh down. It's not fun necessarily. I didn't say it had to be hard in the fact you can learn, and we can learn, we can get better at just trusting Him and saying, no, this isn't going to be... It's going to be the funnest thing, but it's going to be good when I get done with it. You ever exercise? You didn't want to exercise. You didn't want to do it. Finally, you made yourself do it, and afterwards, you're like, that felt pretty good. That was good. Yeah, after the fact, it's good. It wasn't good when you wanted to go through it. But, you know, you do it again and again. You get used to it. No, He said, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. He's going to help us get to where we need to be to do what He's telling you to do now. How many of you, don't raise your hand, just think about it. If you've been walking with God for any time, there are things that you could look back 2, 3, 5, 10 years that you were doing then, that was stretching you then, that you would look at now going, piece of cake. Right? Nothing. I could fly through that. That's nothing. You hear somebody else maybe talking about it or belly aching about it, you're like, you just want to say, whatever, that's not that bad. But then, 10 years ago, you were same boat, right? You're like, how? This is so hard. But now you sail through. Well, that's, think of yourself 5 years from now looking at where you are now. You're going to go, really? I thought that was hard. What? That's because you're here. That's because you're walking at this level, and to walk to the next thing, you need to be up here. Good news is, a year from now, you can be up here. And how are we going to get there? Well, I'm just going to do this. No. You're going to say, Lord, You said I could do it, so here we go. Show me what I got to do to get there. I'm going to do it. With your help, by your grace, I can do it. Why? Because I'm so great? No. You told me I can do it. You're smarter. If you said I can do it, I can do it. Now, I don't see how to do it. Now, you tell me. And this is exactly what we're talking about there. He said, fear not when he's telling you to do something. He said, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. He is our God. He said, I will strengthen you. He's going to strengthen us. Yes, I will help you. Notice who's doing the helping. Jehovah, the Almighty, the King of the universe said, I'll help you. He said, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So he's going to, he said, all right, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed because I'm your God. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. And then I'm going to keep you up. I will maintain you if you look to me. You ever had these thoughts? Well, so-and-so was going good and then they just fell down. I don't want that to happen to me. It won't if you look to him. He will hold you up. He will maintain you. I want to read this to you in the New Living Translation. It says, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God always wins. God always wins. And if we're following him, guess what? We always win. I like what one person said, we keep playing until I win. It's my bat, my ball. Doesn't look like I'm winning. We're going to keep playing. And we will win. I will win. Don't ever let the enemy tell you, well, you've lost. No, I haven't lost. It's not over. We're going to play again. We're going to keep going because I will win. God told me what to do, and we're going to win. And if I don't have it today, I will have it. And I just know some stuff today now that doesn't work. If you failed, all that means is I found 2 or 3 or 4 or 8 or 10 or 100 ways that don't work. But I'm still going to win. You watch. I'm coming up. And I'm coming up. And we'll get her. Get her done. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to get there. Why? Because I'm so smart? Because you're smart, so smart? No, because we know God. And there's something more to this thing than what you and I can see. And so he's going to help us get it done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 1:3, let's turn over there. Philippians 1:3. Glory to God. Are you getting stirred up? Man, if we can just stay here. Just stay there. Stay in that mentality. Stay hooked up with him, knowing that he's got good things for us, that he is helping us. Then when we look like, it just looks like, well, we're not going to make it. I just don't know. This is too hard. We'll say, yeah, but I have help. God is helping me. God is bringing me up. Philippians 1:3. Philippians 1:3, you guys there? It says, I thank my God on every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, who will complete it? The Lord. Now, what does he need from us? He needs us to cooperate with him. That's what he needs. It's not going to happen automatically, but you don't have to do it yourself either. What it means is that you're going to work with him and do what he told you to do and understand that you don't have to do it alone and say, okay, we're going to do this. God, you are working something out in me. You're helping me. You're bringing me up. And did you notice it said, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you will not reach a point, unless Jesus comes back, where you've just got this thing done. And if we'll just get in that mentality that I am going to change this year, that I'm going to come up this year. Not if. See, the world will say, well, I'm going to set a bunch of resolutions. I'm going to set a bunch of goals. I don't know if I'll get there or not, but I'm going to try and do my best and read all I need to. Now, I'm not knocking trying hard. I'm not knocking reading. But you do it all in the context of what God told you to do. And all along saying, God, you told me to do this, so we're in this together, and I will change this year. I will come up this year. It's not a matter of if. My life is going to change. I will be a different person. It's not all going to be comfortable, but it is all worth it, and it is all the best thing because you're putting me on the best pathway. Right. So if we'll just build it in that there will be change, there will be some things that are going to be different, that my mind is, it's happening right now. Our understanding is going higher. We're being enlightened, and this is going to continue throughout this year. It's going to continue, but God is there helping me, strengthening me, upholding me through the whole process. And that's what I want you to get today, is that we have a help. God, there is supernatural help for us to do what we need to do. So when it doesn't look like something in the natural, you can just remind yourself, well, that's okay because I started out this thing knowing that I'm trusting a supernatural God to get His plan done on this earth. I'm a small part of it, and He is going to in as He's using me, He's going to grow me up. He's going to mature me. I expect that. So what if it doesn't look like something's happening? So what? I can't see God with my physical eyes either. I still believe Him. I still trust Him. I still believe He's helping me to do this. And you watch. We'll get through it. You just tell yourself that it's going to change. Just like I could look back 5 years and see God was faithful and He brought me up. And those things that used to challenge me don't challenge me. That's the way I'm going to look at this. And you watch. I'll get past this. And you just tell yourself that.
That's right.
And that's it.
That's right.
While you're going through it. And I'm not talking about that you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. No, I'm talking about just life, faith life.
Yeah.
Just walking with Him. That you just keep going to a higher level. But as you're going to this level, you're going to a higher level. And you look back 3 or 4 levels, you're like, wow, I used to be there, but I'm here. And I know 5 years from now, I'm going to go up, and it's just keep going up. And so as it doesn't look like it, say, well, this is no big deal for God. I've been here before. He'll bring this all through, and I'm going to grow in the process. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to enjoy the ride. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the ride. Yeah. Because I have a helper. I have a person that's going to help me, that's going to bring me up, that's going to help me get to where I need to be. God is a good and faithful God.
Yeah.
Praise you, Lord God. Thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, God. Where do we need to wind up here? Where do we need to go? Praise you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's turn over to John 14:26 and we'll wrap up there. John 14:26. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We looked at this verse several weeks ago when you're talking about love in that context, but I just want to lay our eyes on it, sum it up here. Praise you, God. John 14:26. Aren't you glad that we have help?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm stirring myself up this morning. God is so good. We have a helper. We got supernatural help right here today. John 14, 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. He said, the Helper. When Jesus was going, he said, when I'm gone, I'm going to give you a Helper. And the church that's going to come in my name is going to get what I asked them to do accomplished because the Holy Spirit is going to help them get it done. So you think when I go, I'm sending somebody to help you. And there's the Holy Spirit, there are ministering spirits, angels. And there is a supernatural element that is helping us to get what he calls us to do done on this earth. In the Amplified, you've heard it before, but let your heart receive it, everything that he is. Think about this, as he's asking you to do things, that he's given this supernatural helper to us that is all these things, whatever we need, that the Spirit of God is helping us to do it, and angels will get commissioned to do things as we follow his word. It says, but the Comforter, the Helper, that word helper is translated Comforter, also Counselor. Well, I just don't have enough wisdom. I just don't know what to do to get that done, God. That we have the Lord God, the Spirit of the Lord God. He is a Counselor. He can give you stuff specifically. He can bring it through people. He can show you resources to use. He's a Helper. He's an Intercessor. He's an Advocate. He's a Strengthener, like we read in Isaiah. He's a Strengthener. He is in the business of helping us get to that next level in a good way. In a good way. In other words, you're not killing yourself trying to get better. Well, I'm going to do this if it kills me. Well, sometimes it will kill people. I'm going to accomplish this goal and put everything else aside. And then they wake up 5 years later and go, what did I do to my life? For what? God will never do that. He'll set goals, he'll put things in front of you, and as you do what he's told you to do, you'll actually get better, and life will get better, and you'll get done 5 years from now and say, woo, this has been good, and I didn't give anything up for it. In fact, I got more. Amen. It's been better. I enjoy life more today than I did 5 years ago. I'm more fulfilled. I can do more. Wow, I like this level. And then you go up to the next level, and that's what we were talking about. That's a stretching thing. He also said he's the standby. He's always there. Never a chance when we go, God, you told me to do this, and just nobody's helping me, and this is so hard. Good news, we have the Helper. We have a standby. He's there to say, it's all right. I told you to do it, and you're going to get it done. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank God.